And it's time to talk about legends and lost treasures of Northern Ohio. We have with us the author of that book, Wendy Coyle, who joins us this morning. And when we were just before you came in here, you told me you're from Tuscarawas. See, now this is you're from a place, a county that is a broadcaster. I always like kind of threw me a little bit as I had to try to remember to pronounce Tuscarawas, right? I'm just trying to. It's one of those things, and I suppose that other people in the state, if they have to do the Cuyahoga, they may throw them for a loop as well. But as you cross the state, you find out different pronunciations, history behind it. A lot of this is Native American, Indian kind of related like that. Any lost treasures related to Native Americans or Indians?
There are definitely lost treasures related to the Native Americans. And with my book, I didn't go into a lot of that because they are so far back in history. So I tried to trace more of the modern history, starting with the Revolutionary War and on up through current day treasures.
What's your interest in history in a topic like this?
I've always had a fascination just with unique history and especially Ohio history, and I really like to find history that's been lost, and I feel like I'm resurrecting it and bringing it back to light.
What constitutes a treasure?
A treasure, well, there is a legal definition, and it's any lost hoard or cash that's been left hidden somewhere and no one is there to claim it. So they pretty much consider that a treasure. For me, it's just something left from people before us, and to me that feels like a treasure. So if I could find anything, a coin, a nail, whatever, that to me that feels like a treasure.
What was the first treasure that kind of prompted you to put this book together?
Well, actually, when I was a little girl, I used to go out in the backyard with the neighborhood kids and dig. And I remember one time we found this little necklace. I don't know if it was something we'd left there from months before, but I felt that was my first treasure. And then about 2 years ago, I walked out on my front porch and my little girl, she was digging out in the front yard. So that kept the treasure idea alive for me. And then I started to think about treasures in Ohio and wondering if there were any. And as I started to research, I found that there's quite a few. And actually, I had to divide the book into two. I was originally going to do all of Ohio, but there were so many that I focused on Northern Ohio. And then eventually, I'm going to come back and get the Southern Ohio treasures as well.
Are they similar treasures, or is there something about the regions that creates some sort of a different type of a treasure?
Just from a preliminary look at the southern treasures, you have more of the caves and the hills down there, where a lot of the northern ones, if you look at the northwest, you have that flat cornfields and that flat land where they could go pretty fast across the land and stash it. And then you have the Lake Erie treasures here. But down in the south, and it's more about the caves and some down on the Ohio River, and it feels like there's maybe better hiding places down there.
Now, have you come across maps that get you to these treasures? Since we know that the fact for the treasures, we don't know, there's no one's claiming that, so but you still have to obviously work your way backwards to determine where this might have come from. Talk about something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, the book is called Legends of Lost Treasure because I know that maybe it is a legend, it is a rumor. So what I did, I would find the legend, and there might be an article in an old newspaper said, well, here's a treasure hidden in Minerva or wherever. And so I would just trace the legend all the way back. So where did it start? Why did they hide the treasure in the first place? Or why do they believe they hid the treasure in the first place? And then from there, once I determined where the rumor came from, I looked at facts and, okay, this could be real. And then I kept going to searches all the way up through today. They're still searching for several of the treasures.
Did you find any along the way? Come on now, fess up.
Unfortunately, I haven't.
Oh.
but what I did find is a wealth of Ohio characters and people that I talked to along the way and historians that had the passion for history that I did. So to me, that was the treasure of doing the book. Now, if I do go out with a shovel and find a treasure, I will keep it.
Okay. Well, you know, when we took our morning show on the road, Bruce, we went to, I believe it was Grafton, right? And they talked about back in the day, Jesse James reportedly coming through town. So you never know.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking today with Wendy Coyle. The book is Legends and Lost Treasure of Northern Ohio. How much of this is sort of crime related? In other words, somebody stole something and then had to hide it, and then maybe they got caught or killed. How much is related to that type of a treasure?
I would say about 75% of that book there is some kind of crime. And you have to think about the pioneers. So when they would come to Ohio, you know, a lot of times the weather here would make or break you. And if it broke you, then you had to come up with another way to find money. And one of my treasure stories is related to John Dillinger, and he made quite a profit in his work. I mean, robbing banks across all of Northern Ohio. But I'd say a good 75% of those there is stolen money and then hidden somewhere.
His retirement plan didn't work out too well for him. No, so no. I mean, I'm just trying to, as far as the vocation.
Good thing he didn't invest
concerned.
Too much of it. you know, you mentioned that there are legends and there might still be things out there and people. Are there people actively looking for what might be out there still here in Ohio?
A couple of the treasures, especially the Minerva treasure, that is Ohio's best known. And according to the locals there, every few years or so, another wave of treasure hunters will show up and come to look for this one. Most of my treasures, I feel, probably are forgotten. Maybe not the John Dillinger. They look for that one once mm-hmm. in a while as well. And what we really see today is more of the, like, the metal detector people just looking for the coins or a lost relic. But as far as, like, if you watch the Legends of Oak Island, where they're actively pursuing and hunting that one, probably Minerva would be the only one where we see that.
And what is it in Minerva? What is that treasure?
Okay, the Minerva treasure is the French lost gold, and they were stationed over at Pittsburgh, and the British attacked, and they came across the trail there, and they knew the British were right behind them, and they had to ditch the treasure. And so they ran down over the cliff, and they hid the treasure. And about 20 years later then, an uncle of one of these soldiers showed up in town with a letter that his uncle had wrote, and it had all the clues for this treasure hidden down in Minerva. And every clue has been turned up now over the last 100 years or so. Every clue has been found, but we've yet to find the treasure.
I'm looking through your book, and there's a picture here out of, I guess, the Cleveland area. And this is people digging through the demolished house of Albert Fletcher. Why in the world are they doing that?
Well, Albert Fletcher, they called him Fletch. He had passed away, I believe, in the 50s. And that was the house that you're looking at now, the picture there. A construction crew came in and started to demolish the house. And as they started to pull it apart, money started floating out of the walls. And this was in the 70s. And my favorite part of that story is that the little kids were down at Lawson's and at the penny candy counter, and they were going to buy some candy, and they pulled out $100 bills. And the clerk at Lawson's was like, "Where's this coming from?" And so then eventually the media caught on, and the kids and anybody else, the construction men, were able to keep the money there. It was all legal. And
so some of this has to do with maybe people just hoarding their cash, or, you
definitely.
Know, we hear stories of, you know, the closest I think we have recently is those stories of people finding, like, the issue number one of Action Comic books from Superman in the walls used as insulation. But, you know, I guess it doesn't have to be underground for it to be a treasure. Anything that comes out in your mind about Lorain County or this area that relates to any kind of treasures or things that legends that you might want to share with us?
Well, you touched on the Fletcher treasure there. there was another treasure down in Richfield area. Okay. And that one, they think there's still part of that. And it would be in the Lake Metro Parks area if you were to go look for it. So you would probably be in trouble if you're out there with a shovel hunting it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the Lake Erie treasures, which were a little bit different, you know, where the ships had sunk. And so I always think Cleveland and Lake Erie kind of go hand in hand.
Any of these haunted many times with treasures or any kind of some kind of booty that's out there? People think that there's maybe somebody guarding it, or spirits, or bad luck that may be accursed, that type of a thing?
Definitely. One of the treasures I worked on was in this little town called Shunk. It's down below Toledo. And they hid the money there. And actually, you know, you did ask me about Native Americans. It was the Native Americans that had supposedly hid this one. And they were going to come back and get this. But to protect the treasure, the shaman called up a spirit to guard that treasure. So if you were to go out and look for the treasure, supposedly the ghost will show up and keep you away from finding that.
So you mentioned the fact that you're kind of, you had to sort of split this in half. So I suppose the Legends and Lost Treasures of Southern Ohio is sort of being in the works right now for you?
Yes, that's, I'm starting on some early research with that. And right now I'm enjoying some book signings and everything with the Northern Ohio treasures. But I am starting to look at the Southern treasures. And you had mentioned Jesse James. He supposedly came through Zanesville, so we're looking at the southern area there. I'm excited to start on that one as well.
Well, that's near the area where you're
yes, down in my area, my neck of the woods.
Uh-huh. It was -2 the other day in Zanesville.
As that's there. Right.
We're looking at the state for that. It's interesting that you got a book like this together, and it continues on with sort of, discovering new types of things. Is many of the pictures you have in here, where do you acquire a lot of those type of things?
Usually through the libraries and historical societies. A lot of times you can find local people that are more than happy. I always say there's two kinds of local people: the people that believe they own the history and they're not willing to share, and then there's another type of local person that will do anything to get their little town into a book, and they're super excited. And then some of the pictures, I actually went to the location and would find remnants of a structure or even just a blank field just to get the feel of the area. And I snapped a picture, and the publisher was happy with how those turned out. So we included those as well.
And again, it's called Legends and Lost Treasure of Northern Ohio. Our guest today has been Wendy Coyle. We want to thank you for stopping in this morning. You're going to be out at different places, I guess, throughout the next weeks or so, making some trips around for book signings as well?
That's right. Next Saturday, February 15th, it's also my anniversary, but I will be over at Loganberry Books in Shaker Heights at 2 p.m., and I'm going to talk some more about my books and sign books.
So you get the chance to travel the state for, and I suppose along the way, as any kind of author does who has books like this, people
yes.
they meet will probably either have stories or little sharing ideas of maybe things that they've heard about, which can kind of maybe lead to future books as well. Wendy, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate
thanks for having me.